Our gospel this morning is Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Listen for the word of God. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. And this has been said before, but if Paul can say it twice, I will too. Philippians 4:4-7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, your word is true and precious, and it is a light unto our feet. We pray that we might walk in it. We pray, too, for Ron this morning as he prepares to give a message. Let it be the very words of God, and let us hear them and put them into practice, that we would be your people in the community where you've placed us. Amen.
Today is the third Sunday of Advent, as we already know. And Advent is a time, the four Sundays before Christmas, where we are preparing for the coming of Christ, to celebrate once again the coming of Christ the incarnation, God with us. And the third Sunday is the Sunday of joy. And as the candles are lit, we have three candles that are purple, the sign of penitence and repentance and coming before God. And then the third one that is a different color. It's pink, the sign of joy, as we're celebrating that. And in the scripture readings today, we've had three passages that are clearly about joy. The Old Testament passages, which the prophets, which we normally think of as doom and gloom, they're filled with joy. And then we have this marvelous passage from Philippians 4, which we emphasized it twice today, once in the reading for the Advent candle and now again in the scripture reading. We have this joy expressed that Paul says. And somehow, right in the middle of it, is this words from John the Baptist. How does this all fit together? Well, I'm going to go to the easy part first, the joy, okay? Maybe we should just stay in the joy. The joy that we have, let's look first at Zephaniah. Now, how many of you spend a lot of time in Zephaniah? That's exactly what... How many of you can find Zephaniah? You know, a lot of people... Maybe I should... I didn't prepare Jackie for this. Maybe I ought to... She writes a lot in her Bible. Maybe I ought to look in Zephaniah and see if there's anything under... Is there? Nothing's underlined. Okay, that's what I expected. We don't spend time there. And there's a reason for that. I mean, at the very beginning, it starts off with God saying, "When I destroy all people on the face of the earth, declares the Lord, I'll stretch out my hand against Judah, and I will destroy every remnant of the..." And then he goes on and chapter continues the woe and gloom, and chapter 3 starts off, "Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled, she obeys no one." We don't like to dwell in that, do we? But all of a sudden, here we come to chapter 3, verse 14, "Sing, daughter Zion." This is the way it ends. Zephaniah is one of the gloomiest of prophets, and we know the prophets can be gloomy, right? He's one of the worst. And here at the very end, we've got this joy. Why the joy and singing and praising? Well, there's one reason, and it's so important that he says it twice. He says, "Sing, be glad, and rejoice from your heart." Why? Because Yahweh, the Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. That's the emphasis of verse 15. And then he says it again in verse 17. "The Lord your God is with you." Even in the midst of the doom and gloom that he's talking about, there is cause to rejoice because God is with them. Do we believe God is with us now? That's what we teach. If God is with us now, we need to be rejoicing and praising. You see, Zephaniah was writing at a time when Israel is being destroyed by the Assyrian army. Here you have the greatest army, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, invading and destroying this tiny little country. They're just being overpowered. And in the midst of this gloom, Zephaniah says it's because of the you've turned your back on the Lord that he's letting this happen to you. And yet, you need to be rejoicing because God is still with you, even in the midst of this destruction that's happening. Do we believe that? If he can say that with such assurance then, those of us here in Haines, where we live pretty protected lives, yes, the wind blows a little bit here and it can get cold and we can have disputes among us, but basically we've got it pretty easy compared to what Zephaniah and his people were facing. And he says, God is in our midst, so rejoice and be glad. And then we get over to Isaiah chapter 12. And Isaiah, I know some of you have spent some time in Isaiah, because in the adult Sunday school class we went through it last year. Remember that? Remember all the fun we had when the armies are coming in and the chariots, the wheels are going so fast they sound like a whirlwind because the destruction is coming. I mean, Isaiah's full of doom and gloom as well. And here in chapter 12, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." This is... He's saying that in the face of an invading army, "I will trust and not be afraid because God is my salvation." Sometimes our fears, we exaggerate our fears. They had real reason to be afraid. And Isaiah sings praises, "I will trust and not be afraid." Why? "Because great is the Holy One of Israel who is among you." God is present. So we can trust and not be afraid. That's the reason for the joy as Isaiah is singing this. In the face of, a different invading army, the destruction that is coming, he is not afraid because God is with him. Now, let me ask you a little bit about your fears. And we all have them, right? Anybody in here never been anxious, never been afraid? Don't hang your head, Judith. We've all had some fears, haven't we? We all have fears and we have anxieties and we worry. Let's be honest with one another. Out of, say, the last 10 things that you were really worried about, how many of them actually happened? I doubt if one, right? Out of the last 100 things that you were truly sat and worried about, maybe one of those happened, probably not. Usually the things that we're anxious about, the things that make us afraid, don't ever come to pass, do they? And yet we let that fear and that anxiety consume us. And we let that fear paralyze us from doing what we ought to be doing. And Isaiah says, I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust God is present and I will not be afraid. The Bible says over 300 times, you've heard me say this many times, somebody told me it was 365, I mean one for every day of the year. I don't know about the 365, I know it's over 300 times. God says to us, do not be afraid, do not fear. He says that over and over again, do not be afraid. Why? God is in our midst. And in the Old Testament, the prophets are saying, God is present here with us. We don't have to be afraid. We know even more than they did, don't we? We know that if we have accepted Christ into our lives, God promises to give us His Holy Spirit and fill. And where we are gathered, maybe you've heard this, where two or more gathered together in His name, what happens? He's there with us. God is present in this place now. No matter what happens to us, no matter what we're facing, God is present with us. He promises that. Many of us in this room have experienced that from time to time, haven't we? God is always present. He doesn't promise us that we will not suffer. He doesn't promise that it's always going to be easy street. Things may get hard, but He promises to be with us in the midst of that. So repeat after me. I will trust and not be afraid. Try it. I will trust and not be afraid. Now this time say it like you really mean it. I will trust and not be afraid. You're going to need that in a little bit, okay? Now let's turn over to Philippians. Philippians, rejoice or celebrate in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let me ask, I'm going to just limit this to the married couples here. The last time you had a disagreement with your spouse, maybe some of you call it an argument with your spouse, was your gentleness evident to your spouse? Whom you love? Here Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to everyone. Okay? Just no extra charge for that little bit of advice, married couples. Okay. All right. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Why? The Lord is near. He's here. He's present with us. Rejoice in the Lord because He is near. He's with us. I will trust and not be afraid. Do not be anxious for about anything, but instead, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So what do we learn from these three passages about the joy that comes because God is in our midst? First, the joy is not something that we create. Is it? It's not a sense of happiness or giddiness, you know, when a little child says something cute and we laugh and we're filled with joy. No, the joy that comes here is over what God has done. The joy that comes to us is also knowing what God will do. It is all, where's Holly? Anchored. It's all anchored in God's love and in His presence. He is with us. That's where our joy comes from His love and His presence with us. Because we know from the Bible what He has done. We know from the Bible what He will do. So that brings me to the passage that Crystal read today that I've been avoiding. John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes and he says to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." Now, you think that's the way he said it? "You brood of vipers. You're such nice people." No, that's not the way he said it. "You brood of vipers. I told you needed to, I will trust to not be afraid," because I could, you know, really. Can you imagine a pastor today preaching a sermon like this? Can you? "Crystal, you think you're an associate pastor here? You need to repent. You're brood. You're a viper."
"What should I do then?"
Okay. We don't like that kind of preaching, do we? We don't see it. So how is this? Why is this on a joy? Right? And by the way, Crystal had the right answer, didn't she? If you were listening to her, "What should I do then?" And a couple of things I want you to notice about this passage. Luke says, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him. He calls them the brood of vipers. By the way, the brood of vipers, you know, that's the baby vipers. It's kind of like a nest. It's the offspring of the vipers. Instead, and he mixes his metaphors here, he says, produce fruit in keeping, you know, the fruit comes is the offspring of the tree, right? So he's mixing the metaphor to get your attention. You're a brood of viper, you're an offspring of viper. Instead, you need to be good fruit on a tree. Produce fruit that comes from repentance. And he also asks here a question, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Who warned you? You came out to be baptized by me, baptism of repentance. Who warned you? You know what the answer is? By the way, it was you, John. Right? He's the one warning them. And he's challenging them. And the other thing that I notice in this passage, turn to the very end of it. Even with all the strong language that he uses and the pointing fingers, verse 18, "And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them." John's fiery preaching is good news to them. Now, Luke also says, again, as I said at the beginning, John said to the crowds who are coming out to be baptized. In Matthew emphasizes that it's to the Sadducees and the Pharisees who are coming out to examine and see what John is doing, that he calls them a brood of vipers. There's a little difference here, but it really doesn't make any difference for what we need to pay attention to. These are the very people. Now, we think of Sadducees and the Pharisees as bad guys, right? But back in their time, they were the ones who were always there on Sunday morning. They're good tithers. When there's a call at the back of the bulletin, is there a thing at the back of the bulletin to bring canned goods because we need it for the pantry? They're the first ones to bring it. They're trying to do it right. And also, in Luke here, it says, the crowds who are coming out to be baptized, they're trying to do it right. Now, So this message that John is bringing and the call to repentance is for all of the people who've been sitting here in this sanctuary for the last 11 years. It's the people of God. It's the churchgoers, the ones who really believe in Christ. He is preaching to you, saying, you think you've been doing a pretty good job, and you have, but you need to repent. You need to change. God has more in store for you. And normally when we read passages like this, we can say, oh yeah, he's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the bad guys. He's talking to the tax collectors, to the soldiers. I'm sure glad that I've accepted Christ and I don't need, you know, this preaching doesn't go to me. You need to repent of that thinking. This is going to us. Crystal, this applies to you. Ron, it applies to you. Okay? I'm preaching to myself here. We need to ask, what should we do? Now, today. Doesn't matter what we've done in the past. What do we do today? First thing, we need to accept Christ all over again today. Each and every day, invite Him into your life and say, Lord, I trust in You. I will not be afraid. How would You have me live my life today? Every day is a blessing from God. How would He have you follow Him today? And then tomorrow morning, pray the same thing. And notice the things that are emphasized here with John the Baptist as he's talking. These can be help us as well. They say in response to him, he says to them, does it do any good that you say Abraham is our father? In other words, I'm a good Jewish person. Does it do any good to us to say, well, I've been following Christ now for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years? That's not what he said. He says, produce fruit today. It's kind of like, to change the metaphor a little bit, he says, produce good. Does it do any good to sit in the tree? You've got to be the fruit that feeds. Okay? Don't just sit up in the tree. I've been sitting here for a long time. Be the fruit, the good fruit. What should we do? Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. Give of yourself to others who need. Share your food with others. It's all about serving and loving God by giving to others. Number two, the tax collectors. They come in. And sometimes, you know, I always look at commentaries to see before I'm preaching. I do a lot of work and I look at a lot of different writers. I came across one who said that these are Roman tax collectors. Roman tax collectors are not going out to be, they're not seeking baptism from John, I don't think. These are Jewish tax collectors who know they're working for the Roman government. They know they've done wrong and they want to change. And he says, don't extort and oppress the people anymore. You've been doing it. Same way with the soldiers. Now, they could be Roman soldiers. I kind of doubt it. They're probably soldiers from King Herod, or maybe even temple soldiers. The temple had soldiers and guards who were out there. And he says to them, don't take advantage of the people. Don't oppress them. You have the right to force them to help you do, you know, go 1 mile. Don't make them go the second mile. Treat others fairly. All three responses that John the Baptist gives deals with how we deal with other people. Give to those who are in need. Don't take or exploit anybody. Don't take from someone, don't exploit them, and don't oppress anyone. Give them justice. We need to do that every day. We have opportunities to give every day, and we need to give more of ourselves. And this is good news. John, verse 18, John proclaims good news by saying, this is how we need to live our lives each and every day. And why does it fit in with this passage on joy? The other three passages are on joy. There's one thing that ties it together. In verse 16, he says, I baptize with water, but one who is more powerful than me is coming. He is in our midst. He wants us to have joy in Him. He wants us to trust and not be afraid. And He wants us to serve and love and give to other people. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank You that we can be filled with joy because of Your love and because of Your presence. We thank You for what You have done in the past especially at this time of year, we think of your coming to Bethlehem as a baby. And we thank you for what you are going to do again as you come again and make all things right. In the meantime, Lord, help us not to be anxious. Help us to trust in you and not be afraid. Help us find joy by serving others and serving you. In Christ we pray. Amen.